Hey everyone, we continue our read through the New Testament today with Hebrews chapter 8. And what we saw in Hebrews chapter 7 is how Christ is the greater high priest through the order of Melchizedek. He is an eternal priest, a perfect priest who constantly and eternally intercedes for his people forever. But being a better high priest also means that Christ has ushered in a better covenant. And that is what chapter 8 is all about. And so we're going to read it through it real quick, and then we'll just do some few explanatory points and bring it to a close. Now the point in what we are saying is this. We have such a high priest, one who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven, a minister in the holy places, in the true tent that the Lord set up, not man. For every high priest is appointed to offer gifts and sacrifices. Thus it is necessary for this priest also to have something to offer. Now if he were on earth, he would not be a priest at all. Since there are priests who offer gifts according to the law, they serve a copy and shadow of the heavenly things. For when Moses was about to erect the tent, he was instructed by God, saying, "See that you make everything according to the pattern that was shown you on the mountain." But as it is, Christ has obtained a ministry that is as much more excellent than the old, as the covenant he mediates is better, since it is enacted on better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, there would have been no occasion to look for a second. For he finds fault with them when he says, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will establish a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not like the covenants that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. For they did not continue in my covenant, and so I showed no concern for them, declares the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, declares the Lord, I will put my laws into their minds and write them on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall not teach each one his neighbor, and each one his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord.' For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. For I will be merciful towards their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more." In speaking of a new covenant, he makes the first one obsolete, and what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. So here at the beginning of the chapter, the author is summing up the arguments that he's made thus far, and points to that crucial result that a change in priesthood means a change in covenant. And the betterness, the supremacy of Christ's priesthood means the betterness and the supremacy of this new covenant. And he shows how, once again, this has been predicted in Scripture. It turns out here, and we see this really clearly in verses 2 and then also verse 5, that the tabernacle in the wilderness, to which the author refers throughout, rather than the Jerusalem temple, which probably at this point was beyond repair and seen as corrupt, is a copy of the true tabernacle, the dwelling of God in heaven. And that is where Jesus has gone to exercise his perpetual priesthood. So rather than performing his intercessory work in the earthly tabernacle, Christ is constantly interceding in the direct heavenly places of God, that Father and Son are in direct proximity to one another, and thus his work for us is directly done in the presence of God in the heavenly tabernacles, and thus they are not earthly intercessions, they are eternal intercessions. The Levitical priest then offer sacrifices according to the law in a sanctuary that is merely a copy or a shadow of the heavenly one, right? And so, in other words, what they did was typological, and it was a shadow of something greater to come. right? And throughout the Old Covenant, what's happening through the sequent covenants of the Old Covenant, the Abrahamic Covenant, the Mosaic Covenant, the Davidic Covenant, what's happening is the silhouette of the shadow that's being portrayed in the New Covenant is becoming clearer and clearer until in the New Covenant, the substance that matches that silhouette comes into full fruition and clarity in Christ Jesus. By entering heaven, Jesus has a superior ministry, acting as the mediator of the long-promised better covenant, established on better promises. And once again, this is that constant theme of the writer of Hebrews and the letter of Hebrews, the supremacy of Christ over the old covenant, right? The supremacy of Christ as the substance of all that which the old covenant pointed to, right? So in other words, to reject what has come in Christ is to abandon the substance for the sake of the shadow, right? So now what happens here, and the primary point of exposition that the writer of Hebrews uses to show the fact that Christ has ushered in a better covenant is Jeremiah 31:31-34, which the writer quotes at length, this incredible picture of the new covenant. And there are five main things that the new covenant, these better promises, these more glorious realities are declared that will happen in the new covenant under this greater mediator. First, it will include a reunited Israel. Israel will be restored in the new covenant. And what we see in the new covenant, in the New Testament teaching, is that this restored Israel is a reconstituted Israel. That is to say, it is not just for ethnic Israelites alone, but it is for all people who believe in the true Israel itself, who is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the vine. He is the true Israel. He is the offspring of Abraham. And thus, to be in Him is to be in Israel. To be Israel is to be attached to Israel's Messiah. And so this reconstituted, restored Israel is happening. The restoration of Israel is happening in the New Covenant. But it is so much greater than the Old, and that it includes the fullness of Jew and Gentile, all united by a single faith and under the headship of their single Messiah, Jesus Christ. Two, it will endure. Why? Because the people will remain steadfast. So in the old, people were constantly breaking the law. They were constantly falling out. Curses were constantly falling on Israel, and they could not keep it. So how in the world are the people in the new covenant going to be able to do this? How in the world are they going to be able to remain steadfast and perseverant in the covenant? Well, this is how. Three, God will write His law in their minds and their hearts. So now, rather than the law being external to them as a guideline which they will constantly break, now the law is written upon new regenerated hearts. And so now the law is pumping through them. It is being lived out. This is what it means to work out the salvation, right? Like you've been saved, your heart's been changed, the God's law's been written on your heart, and now that's being lived out. So rather than trying to live in conformity to the external law, we are simply living out that law which has been written on our hearts. Fourthly, the reason we will remain steadfast is because we will know God in a new depth of spiritual intimacy. No longer will we be separated by veils and outer courts, but we can approach the throne of God boldly through the heavenly intercessory work of Jesus Christ. And so we can go directly to the throne. There's a direct relationship with God. And so our intimacy with God is not separated. It is direct. It is within. We have the Holy Spirit in us, God actually working in us and through us. And so there's an intimacy there that was not there in the old covenant. And then finally, God will be merciful to the people and remember their sins no more. This is the reason why those in the new covenant will remain steadfast. Because God has removed, not only has He placed His law on their hearts, but He has removed their iniquity through the perfect once and for all sacrifice of Christ Jesus, removing our sin while imputing to us His righteousness, the very righteousness of God. And this is why the new covenant is said to render the old obsolete, right? This isn't that the old was not righteous or not good, but merely that it was both temporary and typological. The fact that through Jeremiah, God had announced that there would be a new covenant immediately made the old covenant temporal. It gave it a timeline. It was going to run into a new covenant, and that came. So the old covenant was temporal. It was only temporary. It would meet its end eventually. And it was typological. It was pointing to something greater. Whereas the new covenant, ushered in by a greater high priest, Jesus Christ, is both eternal and perfect, right? This is not typological. It's not pointing to something else. It is the something else. It is the perfect substance which the shadows of the old had pointed to forever. And it is that substance of better promises that all of the Old Testament saints had looked through those earthly shadows and types towards the greater land, which is what, when we get to Hebrews chapter 11, will be all about, is how they were able to look through the earthly shadows to a better land, to better promises enacted by a better mediator, who is Jesus Christ. I just want to simply close by just reflecting once more on verse 12. For I will be merciful towards their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more. What a wonderful gift. What a wonderful promise. Unlike the repeated sacrifices of the law, which were an annual reminder of sin, Jesus' offering of Himself has brought forgiveness, holiness, and perfection once and for all. And thus we stand on the words of the first verse of chapter 8 of Romans. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. What a wonderful truth to worship on today. Go and live out the reality that there is now no condemnation in you. Living out the law that has been written upon your heart, knowing that it is God who is at work in you to maintain and to hold you through the constant intercession of your heavenly, perfect, better, wonderful high priest in heaven, Jesus Christ. No condemnation, because of a greater high priest who enacted a greater sacrifice so that we could enjoy a greater covenant forever and ever. And that great sacrifice to give us that ability is what chapter 9 and 10 will be all about.